Looking across the room at him, us having eye contact and flirting and secretly messaging, like all of that just made work so much more bearable.
Are they hot or do you just spend 5 days a week, 8 or 9 hours a day with them?
I took the breakup well, but the seeing of the colleague afterwards was like torture, man.
If you need something to get through the day, sprinkle in a little crush. That's all I'm saying. Hi, I'm Dee Salmon, and there's a thief in our office. That's right.
Who? Who could it be?
I'm really pissed. I went to go have my hot cross bun. Yes, I'm having hot cross buns weeks after Easter. Mm. And I didn't have a knife on my desk. You know how we keep our cutlery on our desk? Because we have to, because there's a bloody fucking thief.
Well, there's a shortage of any cutlery, any platery, any crockery in the ABC / Triple J kitchens.
Because they steal them.
And, you know, we had someone come in from a different company, let's just say a commercial company, and they were like, where are all your forks? I was like, baby.
There's a fork war happening.
Get used to it.
So I went to go have my hot cross bun, no knife on my desk where it normally sits. Yep. Someone's stolen it. So I had to use yours, which I'm probably now going to steal.
Yeah.
And I'm just sick of living like this.
Straight off the desk is pretty brazen. Like, it's pretty next level.
I had a mug stolen.
Yeah.
A special mug.
Yeah. Hi, I'm Piv Rasmussen and I steal things from other departments.
So I'm hating on a thief and you are the thief.
I don't go up to people's desks, but let me just say the fridge that's got like different department milks, it's all fair game to me. I'd be sniffing each one going, yeah, that smells good. Not Triple J, Radio National, you're coming with me.
Would be you.
I mean.
That would be you.
I'm sorry.
It'd be like 10 days old, you'd be like, well.
It's honestly, it is free for all. It's hard out here. So you got to take what you can get in these offices.
The politics of offices, honestly. We could do a whole episode on it, which we are.
Yes.
Kind of.
Not just offices.
Yeah.
Workplaces in general.
Yeah. In this episode, we are going to be talking about dating your or sleeping with your coworker.
Yes. And we kind of got inspired by our live show, which if you haven't already watched, it's the one previous to this. It's in your feeds and you can listen to it as well wherever you get your podcasts. We had people come in with their dating dilemmas and a really common theme was hooking up with people at work. And so we were like, let's cover it.
Yeah. There were so many that we wanted to do a whole ep just for you. So in this episode, we're going to find out how common it is. What kind of relationships are you having? Is it a one-night stand at the Christmas party? Mm. Is it secretly fucking? Is it your boss? Is it proper like going to management and saying, hey, we are together.
Yeah.
Like we want to be together officially.
Yeah, something long-term.
Yeah.
We're also going to find out how they went. Like, did it go well for you? Like, have you got a happily ever after with somebody? Or did it like crash and burn and you had to like leave your job? It gets pretty hairy and I'm very, very excited to get into this episode. So let's do it.
So I can hear you wondering.
Oh.
Yeah, I can hear it.
She can hear it through the headphones.
Through the headphones. I can hear you. I can hear you wondering.
Witchy girl.
How common are workplace romances?
Mm.
Well, we typed in the numbers. Pip and I looked at a whole bunch of surveys and research and found out that on average, about 60% of people have had some sort of co-worker relationship, whether
have
it's
you?
Like a hookup. Yes. Yeah. Famously, my boss, when I worked at a call center when I was
ooh,
like 19.
Sexy.
It really was.
Wait, boss?
Well, he was like my manager.
Okay.
And it was basically me and the team of like 8 men and all really nerdy. And we just had a bit of a flirting moment for months. And then every week we would go to office drinks on a Wednesday and flirting turned into some pashes.
But it never went any further.
No, it never went any further.
Okay.
Yeah.
I feel like for me, I don't think I've ever hooked up with anyone at a workplace.
Really?
But every place that I've worked has had people who are dating or shagging.
Exactly. Which is
yeah.
Why we wanted to do this episode. Of course, we have to do our own research with you. We put up a poll on our Instagram at Triple J The Hookup. And we asked you, have you hooked up with or dated a coworker? 62% of you said yes. So
okay. That's kind of in line with the surveys.
It fully backs the other surveys.
By the way, I want to mention as well, get your head out of like the office space thing as well. When we talk about all these workplaces.
Oh, yeah, sorry. We've got office bias.
I think we do have an office bias, but I think remember like everyone that you're going to hear from, like they're all working in like really different jobs, like contractors, like zoos,
tradies,
hospo, like everything. Working in the mines, you know, whatever.
Train drivers.
Train drivers. We did have a few train drivers come through. So keep that in mind when you hear all these stories. For example, Gina, I've hooked up with or dated at least one person from every job, honestly. And I'm a contractor, so that's a lot of jobs. Truthfully, a recent gig, I had four on a roster. Go off, Gina. That is crazy.
The amount of different people you would meet as a contractor, that makes sense to me. I'm like, you're meeting so many different people, which would be exciting. And you'd be like, hey.
And it's not long term. You're literally like, this is maybe like a 6 month, a year contract, whatever, less. So it could be fun. Okay. So we also asked you, how did you feel about it? And a lot of people came back in the DMs at Triple J The Hookup. They said, don't screw the crew. Don't shit where you eat. And Mon said, this is my personal favorite, don't taste the honey where you make the money. This is really funny. We had so many different varied people come through. And Adam was someone else who was different. He said, I'm a serial co-worker upper. Almost always ends up as best friends and rarely ends badly. And I have really hot memories from my experiences. Everyone has a thought on this, and over 60% of you have done it. Why did you want to hook up with a co-worker? And this is what you had to say.
So loads of you basically said that you were having such a shit time on dating apps and trying to date in real life that you realized you're actually better off finding someone at work. And Tom sent us a DM saying, I think people fall for people in the workplace because you might only hang out with people in your friend circles. And generally those people might be similar and have similar ideas of what a normal relationship or idea of what normal is. And then you go to work and you meet many people from many different walks of life and might have a different idea of normal. And that draws you to that person.
Yeah. I mean, you definitely meet a diverse range of people that you'd never find in your normal circles or your bubbles. That makes sense. Craig also says it's just easier to find someone and get to know them through work.
I actually think it's a good idea because being ex-hospitality and a chef, it was just easier to find someone you're working with because you don't have time out of work time to actually go and find someone else to date. And also, when you're dating someone you're working with, I think you also get to know them better as a person. I think it makes it a lot of bit easier, especially if you're a bit shy. I think that's a better option.
I have to say, I completely agree with Craig, but I also am like, it just feels so unromantic, right? It's it's not that I saw you from across the room and I just knew. It's like, well, we spent heaps of hours together and, I got to know you and you were kind of nice. So let's date. Let's give it a go.
I get that too.
On reflection with my boss that I hooked up with, I think the reason I did was because of just proximity bias, right?
Oh, totally.
I was 9 to 5 working this job. I hated it. I was so bored. It was torturous. And then having a crush just got me through the day, right? It gave me a bit of dopamine. Looking across the room at him and, us having eye contact and flirting and secretly messaging, all of that just made work so much more bearable. And so I think in hindsight, I would never have dated someone like him in the real world. But it was the fact that I saw him every day. He was the person that I was probably attracted to the most. And it just happened to be, I reckon, a bit of a proximity bias.
Yeah. It's like that thing of are they hot or do you just spend 5 days a week, 8 or 9 hours a day with them? And that is something that so many of you were like, this is why I like dating a coworker and this is how I ended up in the situation. Jess is someone who has such an interesting, unique story about this.
So I'm a biologist and I was working a contract where we were situated in a more remote area with a small crew of coworkers, around 7 of us, and we all lived on site. It honestly kind of ended up feeling like a low budget Love Island situation. We were stuck in the middle of nowhere together near this beautiful lake and it all kind of felt a bit magical. And when you're around people 24/7, that proximity does a lot of the heavy lifting. Being in such a remote setting creates this little bubble or island effect that makes emotions develop way faster or feel way more intense than they normally would. And, we're all young adults, a little bored. We had a day off and a couple of drinks. And of course, something ended up happening. That got the ball rolling and I ended up in a bit of a situationship with one of my coworkers for the whole field season.
Okay, so I would watch that show. Biology Love Island.
I know.
Scientists in Love.
It kind of was giving Below Deck as well.
Yes.
When you're in such confined spaces.
Yeah.
Out at sea.
No one around. Isolated.
Everyone hooks up on Below Deck.
If you were like a TV producer listening to us, like that is your show. We just gave it to you through Jess. But yeah, so many of you agreed with that. And sort of to your point before, actually, about how you were like, I would never have gotten with them if we were in real life together. Real life outside of work.
Yeah.
Tia said, my first girlfriend was a co-worker. After quitting working there, we broke up 2 weeks later. So I think that's kind of a good reflection of that.
The goggles came off. Totally. And you were like, actually.
Yeah.
Another huge reason why you like fucking or dating your co-workers is because it's kind of hot.
It's so hot.
The
forbiddenness
of it. The like secret glances across the room, the messaging on Teams, the elevator kiss. Like it's honestly everyone's wet dream. And this is what we heard from you as well. Brooke said, literally was like a romance book or a movie. It was the maintenance guy. We had a secret code ready for the milkshake. Then we'd hook up in various rooms around the building. It was a good couple of years.
I love the code word. Ready for a milkshake?
Ready for a milkshake?
That's so hot. Well, it's interesting because we actually did a whole episode about taboo relationships. I think it was like last year. Definitely go back into your feeds. But we covered things like dating and hooking up with best friend's siblings, doctor and patients, affairs, age gap relationships. And a big one, of course, was co-workers. And I remember Jasmine was in this episode talking about her experience with hooking up with her manager. And I was like, let's bring her back for this because it was such a good voice memo. So have a listen to this.
My taboo relationship was actually with my old boss when I used to work in hospitality. He was a manager and I was a bartender. And I remember we were flirting and chatting for about 3 months. And then I invited him to come to my house to play Mario Kart. And that's where it all started. And we kissed and we dated for about 2 years after that. But I just remember how hot it was when you both have hooked up outside of work, but then you come into work and you have to be professional, but you just give each other these like little looks and these little flirty moments. I also had his private number, and I remember I used to send him nudes at work when I could like sneak my phone quickly, and I would like watch him from the bar check his phone and just smile and just look at me. Like, it was so naughty.
I'm so into that. I get it. Like, it is steamy. And I think the novelty of hooking up with somebody outside of a normal, like, location, like a bedroom, a house, an apartment, in a workplace, there's just something about it.
You can see why people get so turned on by that.
Yeah.
It's like the idea of, like, forbidden, you're almost about to get caught.
Yeah.
I have a friend who only dates coworkers.
Really? Yeah.
Seriously. I think she's had three. Back to back to back. And they're all like, the stories of the start are always just so secretive and exciting.
Yeah.
And I can see why she likes it.
It kind of makes sense as a pipeline to go from, yeah, like super steamy, hot, like sexting during work, all of that stuff, and maybe even hooking up. And then because you get to know someone so well, because you're working with them so much, then it's like almost like a foundation for like, okay, maybe this could be fun. Like we get along really well. We can work together. We're clearly like attracted to each other. And that's how like maybe a relationship forms. It's so interesting, which is maybe why it's so common. We had this DM though, D, from Jason. He said, closing shift at a supermarket deli, BJ behind the counter. I know the novelty of fucking outside of the bedroom is a huge thing, but can we not be pulling out the salami when I'm buying my salami at the deli? Okay. He's pulling out his meat. He's getting sucked. I'm like, not around it. I'm buying that food.
Like, in the closet, babe.
In the cool room,
in
please.
The cool room. Anywhere else.
Anywhere else but that.
That is so funny.
But I get it. It's kind of fun.
A lot of people actually agreeing with me, Pip, when I talked about like, just getting through the day.
Yeah.
Caleb saying nothing better than having a little work crush. Nikki saying was friends with benefit with my manager for a while. It was fun flirting at work and made the day so much better. Tess said, honestly, work is just boring without a little flirting, in my opinion.
Yeah.
This is how I felt.
Yes.
If you hate your job, if you really need a distraction, if you need something to get through the day, sprinkle in a little crush. That's all I'm saying.
A little harmless like flirting is okay.
You don't need to do anything with it.
You don't need to do
it. It's nice to just have something to look forward to.
You know, it is a tightrope that you are walking though, right? Because we're about to find out as well how it's gone for you. Like the risk of it. And there were so many people who were like, it's really risky. And that's why people say, don't taste the honey where you make the money. Like, it is risky. So is it harmless flirting? I don't know. We're about to find out. Your experiences. We asked you, if you dated or were sleeping with a coworker, did it go well or end badly? 16% of you said you're still together. Oh, love that. Mm-hmm. 50% of you said it ended amicably. And then 34% of you said it ended badly. So
that is pretty big chunk.
34% is pretty big.
Yeah.
Amicably, we're going to start with that, 50% of you. So a lot of you had like a one and done situation. So like Friday night drinks, or like it was just very, very random. And the thing that came through a lot was the Christmas party, which is what Hannah told us about. She slept with a colleague at the Christmas party. It was a one-time thing. We were friends before and after and no one found out. And then we went back to normal like nothing happened.
I love that. I feel like mine ended amicably.
Yeah.
At least I'm
like no hard feelings. Like he wasn't trying to. Like
we both just get working together.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
You didn't pursue a relationship.
No.
Well, that's fine. And a lot of people did say it worked out when you did pursue a relationship. Max said, hey, I asked my manager out for a drink, still together 5 years later and with a daughter and a new baby coming.
Oh, so I've said I dated someone while working at Macca's when I was 18. 7 years later, we're still together and bought a house.
Can I just say something about people who work at Macca's? You guys are killing it.
Yeah.
Anyone I know who started at like 17, 18, just flipping burgers, frying fries, and they always are so well adjusted. They have great friendships. They have great relationships.
They're all CEOs now.
Literally.
They are running their own companies.
What is it about Macca's? Like, what's the secret sauce in there?
And I swear everyone does hook up. Like, if people find their life partners at Macca's,
yeah,
they level up in every possible way in their life. They're the CEO. Or something.
Comment below if you went to Macca's and you're having a hard
skin
life.
Skin shining.
I need to know. Because I feel like everyone I know who worked at Macca's is just loving
killing
life.
It. Yeah. Let us know where you ended up.
This is not sponsored, by the way. Just an observation.
Yeah, wow. Sorry.
Just an observation. Okay. That's all we're saying.
So another good story where it all worked out, they're still together, is a DM from Alex.
My husband and I have been married almost 1 year now, but we've been together 9 years coming up. It started in a call center training room. It was a 5-week training program in a classroom environment, and he was actually the trainer. It started as a schoolgirl crush. I didn't think it would go anywhere. He was funny and kind and, to be honest, probably not my usual type. And I wasn't actually really looking for anything at that time either. I was pretty content on being by myself. I thought he wouldn't be interested in me and wasn't even going to pursue it. When the training neared the end, I added him on Facebook and we started talking. Asked me out on the last day of training and it was the best day I'd ever been on. There was no questions or games from the get-go. And yeah, we kept it between us for some time and there was a bit of drama trying to cause problems, sabotage us at the beginning when they found out, saying I would get special treatment and stuff like that. We eventually worked in different departments and it really just became old news and the rest is history, really.
Oh, I think you really show people who come out and say those things like, oh, you just want special treatment, blah, blah, blah. Like 9 years together, married a year, like it's a bit of a fuck you, hey.
Yeah, totally.
It's like, come on.
Yeah.
We're all adults. So many people meet their partners who they then go on to marry or whatever. Like,
it definitely feels more normalized
now. It's a really, really normal thing.
Yeah, it definitely feels way more normalized. But Alex mentioned something that we will touch on in a moment. About like receiving special treatment and the drama that comes up. We will get to that. But let's get into, I guess, when it hasn't worked. A lot of different people, you know, message us and said, the tough thing was actually when you are dating or seeing someone as a coworker and then you break up and you still have to work together. This is what Claire told us.
I dated a work colleague for a couple months before he abruptly ended things with me because he wasn't ready to be in a relationship. We ended it amicably, I think. I was pretty devastated, but I think because we agreed to be friends, we thought that would be easy. However, Thursday night drinks, Friday night work drinks would always end up finding our way back to each other after a few drinks, sleeping over together. And yeah, unfortunately, I was still attached in that scenario and he still wasn't ready to be in a relationship. And eventually it got to a point where one of us were considering quitting the jobs just because it was so hard.
We also asked her, you know, what it did to her mentally, and this is what she had to say.
The emotional strain of it all for me was pretty awful, not gonna lie, knowing that, you know, the person that you have feelings for still doesn't feel the same way. Got to a point where I think I just lost myself, to be honest. I was losing my self-worth to a person that, you know, would, I guess what it felt like was using me in a way, you know, that was convenient for them, but drew the line at having any emotional investment. I definitely don't think it's worth it at the end. At the end of the day, I think I still lost out.
It's really, really hard when you break up with someone and you have to see them every single day. Like, especially if you know that to be able to heal and move on, usually that involves a bit of cutting off, blocking,
closure,
just a bit of like distance from that person to be able to just like move through the motions. We know that about breakups. And what can make it even worse is when they start dating someone new. And we got a lot of you DM us about this. Georgina said, so fun until you break up and your ex is dating someone new also in the same workplace. Imagine going through a breakup.
Yeah.
And then having to see them date someone new right in front of you.
And also add on another layer when you're having a secret relationship, which is what so many people do. And to add on to that again, sorry, but
another patty to the burger.
To the burger. The burger of dating a coworker. We got a lot of
meat references.
Meat and burger references.
Sorry for every vegetarian vegan.
Hey, patty. It could be a fake
veggie
meat.
Patty.
Veggie patty. I like the fake meat more than the veggie patty. If we're going to go there. Anyway, to add another layer to this burger, the secrecy and the shame of it can actually come up as well, especially if there is like cheating and affairs involved, which is what you guys told us. So Jamie said, I flirted with another lesbian at work a bit too hard and we were both on and off for 2 years while we were both in relos. Woo, like that's intense. Ooh. And you having to keep that secret from a lot of people in your life.
Yeah.
Jack saying a coworker and I got friendly and would often close up together chatting away. I thought she wanted a ride home, but she actually wanted a ride home. We would fuck in the car a few times for 6 months until they found out that she had a boyfriend. It was really messy to deal with after that.
Yeah. And Dan saying dated my coworker for 9 months and then she cheated on me and fucked at least three other coworkers. I just like the hard thing about that is obviously cheating affairs. That's a whole other thing. But then not being able to tell anyone, not being able to talk about your feelings, not being able to like process the breakup, the hurt. There's just so many layers of secrecy.
And I think like the cheating and the affairs and the infidelity of it all, it just happens so naturally at a workplace. Kind of what we were saying before about it's outside of the bedroom. It's in places like that you'd never normally be in. And then when you have like desire, attraction to someone you work with, you have so many opportunities to make it happen. The Christmas party, like carpooling, like kind of what Jack was saying, cold rooms at the back of the cafe, like sneaking kisses, like I think that's a big reason why it happens.
Well, you add on, it's an added layer of taboo and forbidden, right?
Totally.
As well as the workplace. It's like you have a partner and then that's forbidden. And it's just a whole double whammy.
Well, speaking of forbidden, maybe not forbidden, but something that is a little taboo and a little bit, like it does happen a lot, is kind of like that dodgy power dynamic where it's quite uneven. Boss, an employee, manager, person under them, whatever. Do I see? I don't know.
How does it work in?
How does it work?
Execs.
Yeah, I don't even know.
Wouldn't
the
know.
Food chain.
Wouldn't know.
Couldn't tell you. Above my pay grade. But yeah, we heard from a lot of people talking about this. And, you know, we heard from Alex before how she was talking about how people accused her of getting like special treatment and getting like a leg up. This is definitely something that happens with coworkers, and which is why it's so risky to hook up with somebody because your whole workplace can like turn on you in an instant.
And we see how massively this happens, right? And people get fully shamed, slut shamed. Like, look at what happened to the CEO Coldplay concert thing where I can't even remember the workplace, but that CEO was having an affair with his colleague. I think she was head of HR. And it went so viral. It was like the most viral thing, I think, of all time.
Yep.
Don't quote me on that, but I think it was.
It might have been up there.
I think it really was.
It was
Someone
like definitely
find out.
Up there for like last year. But this is actually something that we had a voice memo from Delilah talking about. So she started a job. She was 23 years old and her boss, who was 38, took a bit of an interest in her.
When he eventually asked for my number, I was actually really smart about it though. I was like, look, We get along at work, but I also get along with everybody at work. I'll give you my number to get to know you more and decide if we want to go on a date after that, because I don't want to make things messy. And yeah, like 2 weeks into talking, he was just like so possessive, getting mad at me for talking to other male co-workers. So I was like, yeah, dude, sorry, like this isn't gonna work. And you're already trying to like claim some sort of ownership over me, and I'm like really not into that. So that was over the course of 2 weeks, but over the course of about 2-3 months, he was leaving inappropriate notes on my desk, or like love songs and poems. And like, I honestly just like let it go, because I was like, he's gonna get over it eventually. He's 38 years old. Like, he's a grown man. Surely he will give up. But I was wrong. I found out later that he was like also spreading a lot of rumors, and people were coming to me being like, hey, I heard this about you. I think it's come from this person. Like, maybe you should do something about it. But yeah, I ended up going to HR with all the proof. I don't know why he thought that I wasn't going to keep all the sticky notes that he was like leaving me and all the evidence. But yeah, he ended up losing his job.
Wow. And I think that is probably, like, I wonder how common that is to be able to go to HR and for that boss to lose their job. Because I think time and time again, we hear of so many stories, hello, me too, where that power dynamic usually means that the person that harassment is happening to never normally gets listened to, right? They're the one that they don't have the power imbalance, means that normally the boss or the person doing the harassing has the power to be able to just either get them fired or them punished in the workplace.
I think also in smaller workplaces where you're maybe working with like under 10 people, you don't have like an HR department. Mm. Like, do you know what I mean? And so that's why things like this happen. And then you, as the person who is like not in power at all, and you might like, you know, might be hooking up or seeing somebody who is your superior, you're going to lose out. Like, there is no one to protect you at that point. Like, you're going to bear the brunt of that decision. And it's really, really hard. And like, this guy sounds so mentally unwell, by the way.
Well, this is the thing, right? We're assuming in a perfect world, if you were to hook up with your coworker, like, that's assuming that everyone that you work with is, you know, really respectful and emotionally mature and good at relationships and communicating and cares about respect and healthy relationships. Mm. And we know that's not the case, right? Like we just heard, there's can be manipulation, harassment, blah, blah, blah. And you can't always trust that if you have good intentions that the other person does as well, right? We got this DM from Sel saying, I hooked up with a manager who was 15 years older than me. I thought it was a secret, but he was telling everyone.
No.
And this was a bit of a common theme. People sent us voice memos like Jenna, where the person they were hooking up with outed them.
Yeah, so basically met my ex like 8 years ago. We're both working at the same place and I hadn't paid any attention to her for like 6 months. But then I started thinking that I might be queer and just slid into the DMs under the proviso of wanting a friend to attend the Christmas party with. Anyway, then we were dating seriously and I was like fully not ready to come out. So wanted it like super secret, but after like a number of months, I think she told someone at work and then word spread, but I had no idea that everyone knew. So I was just like talking to her at work, thinking that everyone thought that we were just like best friends, but everyone was like, lol, gay. Yeah, so that was fun. And then, after like 3 years, we split up very messily and very badly. She left the workplace before we split. So it was all right for her, but a bit of a struggle for me and traumatic, and ended up crying in my boss's office a couple of times. Not good.
Yeah, really not good at all. And we had a lot of people who related to this, the kind of secret coming out, people talking around the office. And Daisy was hooking up with someone at her work and he left, but he had told people about things and it really affected her career.
I didn't know that he had told a few people at work when he left. I was okay. Like, I wasn't okay with it, but like I just laughed it off. But that could have had implications for me in terms of how other people perceived me, like maybe not respected enough to be promoted. And that's how that dynamic affects me at work, probably still to this day.
It's kind of like that stigma we were talking about before where Alex said people were having a go at her saying that she just wanted special treatment. Like, it is still to this day something that people just assume you are you know, taking advantage of by hooking up or that you're going to jeopardize your job. Liz sent us a DM saying, I dated a coworker in secret for a year because his ex worked with us. Waited until she moved on to then hard launch. He missed a promotion and change of department because his boss flat out said he didn't want to manage a couple.
Oh, that's so rough. I mean, like so many people, that's why they probably don't want to go to HR and declare it because they're like, what do you do? It's almost like you're damned if you do, damned if you don't. You know, Delilah, who we heard from before, 23-year-old, dated, well, not really, for 2 weeks. Her boss was like obsessed with her.
Yeah.
He got fired. But she actually told us as well about the aftermath for her in this case when she went to HR and this is what happened.
He turned a lot of people in my warehouse against me. And I think people also don't realize that once you go to HR, you can't talk about it anymore. So even though I went to HR and he lost his job, like a lot of people only heard his side of the story. I couldn't talk about my side of the story and defend myself. So a lot of people like just couldn't put two and two together that, hey, even though he lost his job, he must have done something wrong. A lot of people in my workplace were still like thinking that I was just like some evil person that like, you know, somehow like got him fired.
Yeah, so, so full on. So not only can the risk of it jeopardize your job, it can make you feel really hurt and upset at work when you see them move on and it's a secret and there's maybe cheating involved. One of the big things that can happen as well is where you literally just have to go, I have to leave now.
Yeah, I can't handle this. Like we were saying before, the having to see them every day after a breakup, the messiness, the rumor mill, the gossiping, the tension, it's just all too much. And that was something that Jimmy sent us a voice memo about.
I was maybe kind of thinking more of it than she was because there was a week when the communication just went like super distant and I was like, something's up, I blew it, I said something dumb. And then we met up and I got broken up with. But anyway, we were obviously colleagues and I took the breakup well, but the seeing of the colleague afterwards was like torture, man. I remember in the first few days, I was like, I'm going to get a glow up. So I went and I got a nice haircut. I bought brand new clothes and I was like, I'm going to fucking swag up and come to work looking like $1 million. And that's really an insane thing to do when you have a wardrobe of like 3 clothes. And then from then on, I think I just got super in my head about it. And it was like torture seeing this person. The breakup lit a fire under my tushy to get the hell out of there.
Okay, I feel like that just got really, really hectic for so much of the episode where we just talked about how messy it can be, how so many things go wrong, how you shouldn't shit where you eat. And we heard so much trauma.
I know, a lot of trauma.
I was like, wow. But, you know, a lot of you did say you've met your forever person, you're married, blah, blah, blah. So I think we need to do an episode with an expert around how to maintain a healthy relationship with a coworker if this is something that you want to pursue and how to make sure it doesn't end up messy like what we've heard.
Yeah. Let's definitely get an expert. But you did weigh in on the Instagram with your own advice. Something that really came through a lot, Dee, was your number one rule was like respect. Respecting the workplace, and then that's going to filter into the relationship, whatever that looks like. Emily said, hand on heart, you need to respect each other. This translates to general parameters of how you treat each other right, like not talking about each other to colleagues, not fucking each other over, and just being straight up and honest. I've had some of the best long-term relationships and flings from work and some totally cooked ones, and it always comes down to the same thing, RSPCET. How do you say that again?
RESPECT. How can you read that and not sing?
I know, I tried not to. Hence, it's my number one non-negotiable rule. So a lot of you as well thought that you need to kind of have rules for work and for home and kind of separate those two places. Tori says it's obviously different for every person and where they work. It might be fine to be affectionate in different places, but I think it's good to separate the romance from the tasks at hand. Mm-hmm. And Tay also agreed with this. She currently is dating her coworker. They've been boyfriend and girlfriend for a little while now, and this is kind of what they do to like, yeah, keep those two places separate.
We'll just make sure that before we leave the house, we do our really long hug and a sweet little kiss before we go to office. Otherwise, office is no hand touching, no, like, you know, arm holding, no, none of those kind of things that, like, you know, we normally do.
Yeah, I feel like walking around the office and being like,
yeah,
hi, Pookie.
You've got to make sure there's absolutely zero PDA. Like,
keep it. I don't know.
Keep it professional. I'm talking like
professional.
French kissing. I'm talking like tongue down throats. I'm like, you can do a peck like when no one's watching, but I'm like, keep it. Come on. You're in You're in a workplace.
I mean, like, you know how I said every workplace I've been in, there's been couples and stuff? I kind of like seeing them have like a little, they break character just for a moment.
It's like when you see your teacher out of primary school or school and you're like, hang on a minute, what are you doing shopping?
Ew, you exist?
Dane sent us a DM saying, don't talk about work when you're in or going to bed. Make a physical boundary as you step into your bedroom. It's about you and your partner, not the stressful day and the bitching and moaning you want to do about work. Love that advice.
I love that. And then finally, I actually called on a friend, my friend Paloma, shout out, who started dating her boyfriend in their previous job. They both quit and they've started a company together, which is like the ultimate hardest thing to do, not only just as an individual, but then layering on the fact that you are dating the person, you're a couple, they live together, they have a dog together, end game kind of vibes. And I went to her and I was literally like, what is the secret sauce? Like, how do you and your partner not kill each other at the end of the day when you're like trying to build this thing up from the ground and have a solid relationship? This is what she sent me.
We don't really have any hard and fast rules. I think the only like real rule that we have is that our relationship is important and the business is important, and both those things can be important separately. So like, we don't fight about personal things at work, and we don't fight about work when we're having like personal arguments. I think it would be crazy to expect any relationship to not ever fight. We do fight. We fight a healthy average amount, but we also, probably because we are both business partners and partner partners, like, we're both really good at being quite rational about like what we want. So yeah, I think the secret sauce is probably like pretty open communication, a lot of grace, like a lot of realization that like sometimes things are going to be really tiring or sometimes things are going to be really stressful, and that's okay. And then I think like the number one thing we talk about a lot is like, it's us against the problem. It's not us against each other. It's not like, you didn't do this. It's like, that needs to be done. And I think that has been a very conscious decision. It's not like, you didn't do the dishes. It's like, oh man, like, we've had such a busy day and we have to get the dishes done. Like, how do we do that? It's taken us some time to like figure out.
Wow. It sounds like they have such a healthy relationship.
Yeah, I think
that's so mature.
I think they do therapy.
I was going to say.
Yeah, you got
it. Us against a problem, it's therapy speak. Yeah. I've heard that before.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And also financial advisor. That was a big thing that she told me as well. She was literally like, someone to like help you.
Well, like, yeah, a professional. Both, yeah.
Yeah.
Honestly, external work, external help all the time.
Yeah.
Which takes us to our next episode. Make sure you keep an eye on your feeds, because we will get an expert in the room to help you navigate workplace hookups, one-night stands, romances, long-term relos, and all the messiness that can come with it as well.
Amazing. Well, thanks so much to everyone who contributed this episode, and we'll see you next time.
Okay. Thank you. Bye. Bye.